Blog Talk Radio.
I hope you're having a great day today. This is Saturday, May 4th, 2012, and we are going to begin our show shortly.
Spending time in the land of pain and suffering brings a greater appreciation of laughter and joy. But how can you keep happiness in your heart when in a body of hurt? The traumatic experiences of a car collision can reach right into your soul. Has a car accident turned your life upside down, wondering if the previous joys of life will return? Will life ever be the same? Sometimes lives are restored. At other times, one must embrace a new way of living. Wherever your journey takes you, and regardless if in the midst of pain and suffering, there is a place for joy in your life. Many do not take comfort in knowing some people today did not survive a traffic collision. This alone can be a start of joy, a thankfulness for the opportunity of living another day with an appreciation for current abilities and the chance to use them. Everyone has strengths and weaknesses. Embrace all of you. Love yourself because you are valued, whether abled or disabled. There is a joy inside each of us. Being in search of it requires a willingness to address matters of the heart and soul. Let's talk about you and joy after a car accident today here on Estra's radio show. Welcome and thank you for joining Talking About You with Estra on Blog Talk Radio this May 4th, 2013. This is your car accident talk radio show, sharing information and concerns that help you. Hi, I'm Estra, your host. Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are coming to you from Seattle, Washington. On this program, your challenges in dealing with insurance companies, self-insured employers, and coping with everyday situations from being involved in a car accident are up for discussion. So dial 718-766-4385. Again, that number is 718-766-4385 to participate in today's broadcast, because someone injured just like you may need to hear your stories on joy after a car collision. But first, our personal injury in the news this week. And these are my views on current events and have no association with the writers of the articles. And from time to time, I'll stop, take a moment, and comment on a section. Our first personal injury news comes from Salon.com. And the title of the article is 10 Members of Mexican Band Die in Car Crash. And it's by Porfirio Ibarra. It's in Monterrey, Mexico. And it's, quote, "Police say that 10 members of the musical group La Reina de Monterrey have been killed and 5 injured in a road accident in northern Mexico. A police official says the driver of the vehicle that was carrying the band dozed off Saturday morning, causing the vehicles to strike the side of a truck, then cross over into the other lane, and crash head-on with the tractor trailer. The official spoke on conditions of anonymity for security reasons. The official said the impact was so powerful that many band members were thrown from the vehicle onto the highway connecting Nuevo Laredo and Monterrey. La Reina de Monterrey played the musical genre known as banda music. It had played in a bar in Nuevo Laredo, Tamaulipas, on Friday night," end quote. That's definitely a tragic accident. You know, sometimes you just have to stop, take a break when we're exhausted or tired. It's a very dangerous thing to be on the road. In fact, they say that that's even as bad as driving under the influence, as driving when you're really tired. It's very tragic. Feel for the losses of the family and just their fans. Sometimes tragedies happen, and that's just unfortunate. Make sure that if you're tired and you're driving, that you don't hesitate to pull over in a safe place. Take a little nap before you go on. Our second personal injury in the news comes from CairoTV.com. And the title of the article is Two Killed in Head-On Crash Near Sumner. And Sumner is also in Washington State. Quote, the drivers of two vehicles that struck one another and then a gravel truck between Sumner and Bonnie Lake were both killed Friday morning. Police said the driver of a pickup heading eastbound up the hill on State Route 410 lost control, crashed over the cement Jersey barrier, and went into the westbound lane. We are not sure why the pickup crossed the Jersey barrier at this point. We suspect speed was involved, but again, that's still under investigation at this point, said Washington State Patrol Trooper Sergeant Dan Shaves. The pickup hit a Ford Focus that was heading westbound down the hill. A fully loaded gravel truck then slammed into both vehicles. The drivers of the pickup and the car, both men, were killed in the crash. They were alone in their vehicles. The driver of the gravel truck was not hurt, and the state trooper said the crash happened so fast he probably didn't have time to avoid the pickup and the car. The mangled vehicle slowed traffic in both directions on SR 410 for hours. Washington State Patrol's Major Accident Investigation Team was called out to take measurements and document the scene. Troopers said they don't have reason to suspect the driver of the pickup who jumped the barrier was under the influence of drugs or alcohol, end quote. One incident is all it takes for change. 2 minutes prior to this collision, none of the drivers involved knew what would happen. In life, we have no guarantees. And this is why every day is a gift, and make sure to use it in a way that's rewarding to you. Consider yourself lucky if you are able to see another day after a traffic collision. As we see by this article, not everyone does, unfortunately. Now for my commentary on you and joy after a car accident. Putting joy back into life after a car accident takes work. One has to make a decision to stay optimistic even in times of great pain or great loss. It must be a time to review one's situation as temporary, not a place to stay forever. And it is a season of new experiences not viewed in everyday casual living. Sometimes it is through struggles and determination to overcome personal problems growth takes place. It would be nice if learned in some other manner, but typically in most cases, it's not possible. For example, compassion and empathy for what others experience is often learned by living through some of their hardships personally. It may change perceptions on how people get there, what they do when they are there, and the best way to help someone in that situation. Car accidents may cause a wide range of hardships depending on the injury and impact on your entire life. You may need to learn to walk and talk again, may no longer have the use of a limb, or a wide range of injuries. And in some cases, an illness can place you in the same predicament. You may become dependent on others, lost the ability to work, perhaps loss of time or loss of income, or spend a great deal of time working to regain the things lost. Whatever this plight, there still is joy to be found. Really, it is. The items most valuable you still have, life, which means the ability to set and reach dreams, to visit with family and friends, and the opportunity to do things you may never realize possible had it not been for this predicament. What have you learned from this? Have you grown physically, spiritually, or emotionally? Have you provided others with a gift of wisdom from these experiences? Have you taken a sour situation, added a bit of sugar by being thankful for what you can do, and made sweet lemonade from it? This is a wise decision for taking the things in life that attempt to bring misery and accept it as a challenge to make life better instead. Many people today realize things they can live without because of our current economy and the greed factor of a few. Yet, has your perspective of what is important changed? Is it really important to have that brand new device? Are you able to live without many of the items seen every day in commercials? Do you really miss attempts to keep up with the Joneses? And were the Joneses really all that happy? Statistics show that wealthy people are no more happy than anyone else. And I wish I could remember where I saw that statistics from. Stop for a moment and look to see what really is important. I mean, without all the hype. As you are healing, reconnect with yourself and determine what really brings you joy. What makes life valuable to you? What is it you want to give to society, regardless of being abled or disabled? What exactly can you do? What challenges are you willing to face in order to make it a reality? What sacrifices are you willing to make? Figure out what exactly you want, then make a conscious decision to pursue it, and let nothing stop you. Yes, it will require learning new things, but the reward will be great because it is your dream, and it will be your actions that make it a reality. Not all dreams are easy to come by, and not all dreams are realized. The learning comes from pursuing your dreams, a joy unknown, a journey that will make life worth living and give you peace beyond the understanding of most, and encouragement to analytically evaluate what people say and do rather than follow a crowd that may lead you down a road where you can find either joy or growth. So what is joy? It lasts for more than just a moment. It's what is built from a point of patience, a place where peace is found, and a comfortable place where excitement builds in knowing you are alive, doing what gives you purpose, giving and receiving in a way that is you. You can wake up with a smile and not worry, not because life is perfect. It is due to understanding your needs and desires, because at the end of the day, things will be all right. And the next day, you'll get up and try again until you are successful. Joy after being in a car accident means getting up each day, doing your best, and realizing it's done until tomorrow. Appreciate yourself, who you are, and what you can do. That brings joy. Again, comments on the articles reviewed today are my opinions and have no association with the writers of them. And from time to time, I'll be stopping to comment on a section. So our first article today comes from TheEconomist.com. And the title of the article is The Importance of Being Happy. Quote, according to Bobby Kennedy, speaking in 1968, the problem with GDP is that it measures everything, in short, except that which makes life worthwhile. As he pointed out, GDP counts air pollution and cigarette advertising and ambulances to clear our highways of carnage. It counts special locks for our doors and the jails for those who break them. It counts the destruction of our redwoods and the loss of our natural wonder in chaotic sprawl. It counts napalm and the cost of nuclear warheads and armored cars for police to fight riots in our streets. It counts Whitman's rifle and Speck's knife and the television programs which glorify violence in order to sell toys to our children. I just want to stop here for a second because it's amazing to listen to that and find out how little in some areas have changed. I bet that people living in 1968 who thought it was violent then would be extremely shocked to see how violent it is for today. But I just wanted to point out, it's amazing how the things that we think of or our value or where we think we can find our joy is kind of like something that perhaps is not what we think it is, but something that's been thrown out there for us to learn. But I'm going to go on with the article here. Quote, 44 years later, one group is trying to catch up, the British government. This morning, the Office of National Statistics, and that's ONS, published the first provisional National Well-Being Report, which attempts to measure the subjective well-being of individuals, which is measured by finding out how people think and feel about their own lives. The idea started with David Cameron, who back in the possibly happier days of November 2010 denounced the incompetent GDP statistics and called for a better measure of national happiness, dismissing the idea that it would be woolly and impractical. So how has it turned out? To gather data, 165,000 people were asked to answer the following questions with a ranking of 1 to 10. Overall, how satisfied are you with your life nowadays? Overall, to what extent do you feel the things you do in life are worthwhile? Overall, how happy did you feel yesterday? Overall, how anxious did you feel yesterday? Perhaps the most surprising findings is that despite an Irish attitude, as the New York Times put it, it turns out that the British are quite happy. 76% of the people rank their happiness as greater than 7 out of 10, while 80% rank their lives worthwhile or worthlessness as greater than 7. Let me read that again. It says, perhaps the most surprising findings is that despite an Irish attitude, as the New York Times put it, it turns out that the British are quite happy. 76% of people rank their happiness as greater than 7 out of 10, while 80% rank their life's worthwhileness as greater than 7. Interesting. People with partners are happier and report higher scores on the average than those who are single, widowed, or divorced. Homeowners are happier than renters. The disabled and those in bad health are far less happy and far more anxious than healthy, able-bodied people, as are unemployed people. And I want to stop there for a minute, because to me that tells you something about the condition of disabled people, unemployed people. They have a lot more problems and things going on in the world. So the stability of their lives are shaken. So from my perspective, if you're in a situation where your life is shaken and you're not in a quote-unquote stable position, then you need to actually begin to adjust your expectations and how you're thinking life can be at that point in time, so that perhaps all of the negative aspects that may come with some of those issues are not impacting you to such a high degree that you are able to find some joy. Okay, I'm going to go back into the article here. More surprisingly, Black Britons are far less happy than other ethnic minorities or than white people. Londoners are also the grumpiest, least self-assured, and most anxious of all. The capital comes out worse than all other regions. That may not be a surprise. And middle-aged people are also less happy than younger or older people. The midlife crisis is not a myth, it seems. All of which is interesting, but hardly groundbreaking. You don't need an ONS database to know that if you make people healthier and give them work, then they'll be happier. But an interesting thought is that what will happen over time? The ONS hasn't measured happiness relative to income levels within a sample, but given a decade or two of data, it will presumably be easy enough to regress levels of happiness or life satisfaction against, say, GDP. We would then be able to see whether increasing GDP makes people happier or not. In short, we should be able to tell whether, by measuring everything else, GDP might actually provide a proxy for all that's worthwhile. If so, then politicians can carry on using GDP as a proxy for national success. If not, well, we may have to start rethinking things a little, perhaps as Bobby Kennedy suggested, end quote. The reason why I added this article is because I wanted to be able to actually show what ways in which we're perceiving, in my way of thinking of joy, what makes us happy. And I want to say that from my perspective, there are always going to be things fluctuating in your life. You're going to be aging, so you might, that midlife crisis time might be a time where if you accept, okay, I'm in the middle, I've got these things that are going to be going on, and adjust where you are and your thinking as to where you are at that time in life, then perhaps the joy that you're seeking, you can find. It goes back to your will and desires and your goals and being able to put them in a way that allows you to find or to actually get your needs met, no matter what that composite might be. I personally, some people are happier being single than married, and some people are more happy being married than single. You know, I mean, there's just such a wide range of things. And we can always do kind of an average, but when you're talking about you specifically, then you need to be able to go and then say, okay, this is who I am. This is who I want, what I want. I know I've been in a car accident. I've suffered. I've had a lot of pain. However, I need to be able to go and still fulfill my dreams, my hopes, my desires, and do all the other things that comprise your life and still have joy by doing it. Thanks for joining in on the broadcast today. Our second article is actually going to give us a little bit more of a life view on actually finding that joy. And the article comes to us from USA Today. And it's about Derek Rose, and the title is Derek Rose, From Agony of Injury to Joy of Fatherhood. Quote, for much of Derek Rose's life, the most precious thing he held was a basketball. Then his son was born. Now, as the Bulls point guard struggles to return to the court, he has become a man off it. So, here we go. Everybody, Chicago Bulls general manager Gar Foreman says, wants to know when all-star point guard Derek Rose will return. We would like to know the exact date, Foreman says. The return date remains a mystery to Rose, who hasn't played a game since tearing the anterior ligament in his left knee last spring in an opener of the 2010 NBA playoffs. I'm not coming back until I'm 110%, he says. Who knows when that can be? It tugs on Rose, who reveals his emotions in a wide-ranging interview with USA Today Sports. His first since the season began. As it concluded, the new father said, it's great to get that off my chest. It has been confined inside him for the most part, the impact of that devastating injury. That's a day I don't want to remember, he said. What Rose recalls is excruciating details is the pain after the May 12th surgery. Holes drilled in his tibia and femur, replacing a torn ACL with a piece of patellar tendon. My health was terrible, where I wasn't eating, Rose said. They put me on medication. And when you're not eating and taking the kind of medication they gave me, it can mess up your body. It messed me up for like a week where I was throwing up consistently every day. I couldn't walk. I was in pain. My hamstrings were on fire. They had to block the nerve in my leg. So when that nerve block wore off, the pain came. It felt like someone was hitting my hamstring with a sledgehammer. The humble star became even more humble and more appreciative of those around him, such as his mother, Brenda, and his brothers, Dwayne, Reggie, and Alan. With that injury, you can't walk. You need help, Rose said. Knowing that, it's all right for someone that loves you to take care of you. I want to stop there for a moment because that's a very important point. Remember that you're not ever in it by yourself. Sometimes you can be alone, but usually there's some resources that will come in to be a support in your circumstances. And I would personally recommend, in my opinion, that you take that help, because it will help you to recover. It'll help you to heal in more ways than maybe you're initially recognizing. But it's nice to know that he realizes that he has people around him that love him, and he's willing to let them in to take care of him. Okay, I'm going to go on. I'm a loner. I'm used to doing everything myself. For someone to help me out in a physical way, it was different. Helping me out of the bed, that was something I could easily do. But everything changed then. What helped Rose in his rehab was another life-changing event. The birth of Derek Rose Jr. last October 9th. The son also goes by Pooh, Rose's lifelong nickname, Pooh Jr. They call him PJ. It's great. Everything else doesn't matter. He's first, Rose said. Everything stopped when he was born. I tried to spoil him as much as possible, not only with material stuff, but just being around him with love and support, letting him know that I will always be there. He can recognize me now, where he can tell when I'm around, Rose said. It's just been great. You just learned so much. It seems like everything slows down in your life. Priorities are everything, end quote. And to me, this is an example of something tragic happening in Mr. Rose's life and him taking that situation and making the very best of it and taking the opportunity to become very acquainted with his son, to decide what was he was setting his priorities for his life, what was his desires and his will, what did he want to do. And when you've been injured in a car accident, you will need to do, and from my perspective, do the same thing. You'll have to decide, and you'll have to make decisions and look at it from a different perspective. Perhaps if he hadn't had this injury, he may not have viewed life in that way. He may have kept on thinking in the way that he had in the past, which may or may not have brought new things for him in the future. So this is why, and you can actually see the joy that he's discussing, although you can also see the suffering and the pain and the struggles he's had with the surgeries and the medications and things that are taken. And that's another thing, and from my perspective, everything has that trade-off. You have to balance the things that are helping you and the things that are hurting you, and where is that balance where it's, you're getting the best out of it and it's not getting the worst of it. So make sure that you actually take that and figure out what's best for you. But he found joy through the midst of his storm, through the midst of his struggle. And that's exactly what you'll have to do. You'll have to go through there and find what that is. And you'll have to decide when you're able to go back and get into things and reignite your life and actually come to the point, from my perspective, of saying, this is my past, here's my future. And you have to, there's a possible woundedness in between when you kind of get back to the point where you're putting those together, where you're acknowledging what you have gone through in the past and the wounds, and then you're accepting, well, okay, that is my past, this is my future, and this is where I'm going, and this is how I'm going to have joy in my life, and this is how I see it. And our last article today is actually from Oprah.com, and it's how to find the kind of joy that lasts. And it's actually by Martha Beck. Quote, it was the bottom of the ninth inning in the game of the 2001 World Series. The New York Yankees and the Arizona Diamondbacks were all tied up. As Arizonians, my family and I were thrilled to see our state getting attention for something other than sun damage. So when Luis Gonzalez hit a bloop single to drive in the winning run, we went bananas, screaming, punching the air, jumping like jackrabbits on crack. Now, ordinarily, my Beagle Cookie, may he rest in peace, love human celebrations. He'd howl along and do a little tap dance. Constantine, toenails clicking on the floor. But after Gonzo's historic hit, as the rest of us shrieked in victory, Cookie ran trembling to hide under the bed. While trying to extract him, I suddenly realized that our reveille had indeed felt a bit crazed. Upon further reflection, I saw that it echoed a similar craziness in the TV commercials that had aired during the game. On television, people weren't just pleased about new dust mops or deodorants, they were ecstatic. Women threw back their heads to laugh wildly while eating salad alone. Car salesmen announced bargains with such enthusiasm, I feared for their undershorts. In fact, everything I'd seen during the broadcast suggests that the ideal emotional state is one of intense, manic euphoria, and that we should all feel that way almost all the time. Well, it isn't, and we shouldn't. Cookie's animal honesty woke me up to the strangeness of something I began to take for granted, the fact that our culture has become defined happiness as an experience that blows your mind. It's as though we're somehow falling short, if we don't routinely feel this way. Times Square looks madly pulsing with a billion watts of wow. Don't get me wrong, excitement is a great and necessary thing. Without it, life wouldn't be complete. But happiness, real happiness, is something entirely different, at once calmer and more rewarding. And cultivating it is one of the most important steps we can take towards creating fulfilling lives. Intense excitement is what Asian philosophies might call the near enemy of true joy, something that looks like the genuine article but is in reality its evil twin. When a gift recipient or jackpot winner starts shaking, screaming, or hyperventilating, we call it happiness, but actually it's evidence that their neurological fight or flight mechanisms have been triggered. This helps explain why it's not just a play on words to say that mania can create maniacs, and in some cases, sports fans seem to riot more violently after their team wins than after they lose, or fight or flight system predisposes us to violence. Switching on this mechanism switches off the physiological processes that allow us to relax, connect, and absorb joyful experience. What's more, high excitement is often followed by a mood crash. Afterwards, we may have to go through a phase of feeling lifeless and depressed. Users of recreational drugs, ecstasy, are familiar with the hormone drop that follows a weekend rave. They call it Suicide Tuesday, and if you're an obsessive euphoria seeker, you've felt it too, with or without drugs. For people who think mania is happiness and the only remedy for Suicide Tuesday is another intensely exciting experience, this may explain why trips to Disneyland are exalted like pilgrims to Mecca, and why multi-day extravaganza destination weddings are becoming ever more the norm. The attitude can be traced all the way back to the European adventurers who American society. They were always seeking some variety of El Dorado, some prize to top all other prizes. As Pueblo Indian chief once told the psychiatrist Carl Jung, the whites always want something. They're always uneasy and restless. We do not know what they want. We do not understand them. We think they are all mad. True joy lacks the wild ups and downs of an excitement-based life. It's a peaceful landscape filled with peaceful thoughts and peaceful emotions. Indeed, it's so peaceful that to our adrenaline-soaked culture, it looks rather plain. In fact, I like to think of it as the plains of peace. You can probably look back on times that didn't seem very memorable when they were happening, but to stand out in retrospect for their sweetness floating in the ocean on a summer day, seeing the sun set as you drove home from work, picking berries in the country with friends. Relive those moments, the sounds of the surf, the breeze on your face, the taste of salt on your lips, the gentle rocking of water, and you'll see they're rich, layered, and powerful, sustaining to the soul. Beagles who wag their tails over every small joy seem to recognize these moments continually. Humans, not so much. If you worry that your life is lacking in an event so exciting they'll make your head spin like an industrial food processor, I have good news. You can relax. The best way to increase genuine joy is to stop searching for maniac highs and instead explore the plains of peace. Happy you're in the perfect place to begin this very moment. And the article goes on. It's a pretty long article, so I'm not going to finish it all. But I think that you actually get the point. And I hope that you'll go out and read the rest of this because I think it makes things very easy to understand, and you can actually see really the true, authentic way of building joy in your life. Thank you for being a part of today's show. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm glad you've been here. Won't you meet us back here next Saturday so we can continue our conversation? Remember to like us on Estra's Blog Tips out on Facebook while you're out looking at today's links. And also, we have an actual survey out there of rate your auto insurance company's claim process. So make sure you go to surveymonkey.com/S/T9GVX2F. And I want to extend a special thank you to Audacity, InternetArchives.org, musicians Jamendo, Force M, Dafta, Rubber Bad, Blues Latino, and various artists, along with articles which made our time much more interesting today. Tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're talking about you with Estra on Block Talk Radio. Come talk, come listen, where you can just be yourself. Have a great weekend. It's really all up to you. The information contained on Talking About You with Estra is not all inclusive in assisting individuals in discerning information related to a car accident. Individuals seeking specifics on their case should seek professional assistance. The First Amendment of Free Speech has allowed Esther's radio show to state her opinion in addition to her guests and callers, which reflect life experiences. Esther's radio show is in no way liable for misuse of the material. For more information, contact Sunlight Publishing, LLC, P.O. Box 69082, Seattle, Washington, 98168, or email sunlightpublishing@gmail.com. Thank you.